Hello again, friends, and welcome to another hour of premium entertainment from the days of yore as we gather again around the old parlor radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker. Today I'm going to bring you a couple of well-known detective shows, and I'll end the program with a unique one-minute mystery program in which you'll be presented with a mystery and a solution all in exactly 60 seconds. We're going to start off with a series I played back on my first broadcast of Old Parlor Radio after taking over the show from Lauren Fevens. The Shadow remains one of the most popular radio programs of all time. It first aired on July 31st, 1930 on CBS and ran with various sponsors and cast changes until December 26, 1954 on the Mutual Network. This episode, the first to star Orson Welles as the Shadow, is from Sunday, September 26, 1937 on Mutual and is titled Death House Rescue. Enjoy.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men. The Shadow knows.
Lou Cole presents The Shadow, a man of mystery who strikes terror in the very souls of sharpsters, lawbreakers, and criminals. All signs point to a severe winter. Be prepared. If you want to be sure of even, dependable, helpful heat in any kind of weather, insist on Blue Coal, America's finest anthracite mined from the fields of northern Pennsylvania. The coal that has colored a harmless blue at the mines for your protection.
You can't let me to the jail. You can't do it. Let me out of here. Let me...
Paul Gordon, listen.
I can't see anybody. Who's that?
I am the Shadow. Stop. We haven't much time. We must hurry, Gordon. You're in the death house, charged with murder.
Yes, I'm innocent. I'm innocent. But nobody knows it.
Take courage, Gordon. The Shadow knows.
All right, Margot, won't you sit down? I told Adbold to serve our coffee here in the library. I should rather go on the terrace.
No, I prefer it here.
Then let me see you smile. That frown is most unbecoming.
Lamont, give it up.
Give what up, my dear? Drinking coffee?
I'm serious, Lamont Cranston. When I foolishly let you know that... Do you remember what you said? It will be exactly 5 years next week.
But there's still so much to do, Margot.
Well, then let somebody else do it. Don't you realize that you can't keep on like this forever? Someone's certain to identify you, and when that someone does, someone else is certain to kill you.
Perhaps, but until they do... Oh, darling, stop frowning.
I don't mean necessarily to give up your work, Lamont, but this other... Let the Shadow just disappear and come out openly. Join the organized forces of law and police.
Won't you realize, Margot, that my entire usefulness to the organized forces of law and police lies in my remaining outside those forces? In remaining always the Shadow. Would they approve my methods? Would they believe in my science?
You would make them believe. You could make them approve.
And in doing so, reveal my secrets, my knowledge. Reveal them and eventually let them fall into the hands of organized crime. No, Margot. No one must ever know. No one but you. Why do you think I've devoted countless hours to investigating electrical and chemical phenomena? Why do you think I went to India, to Egypt, to China? What do you think I studied in London, Paris, and Vienna? Except to learn the old mysteries that modern science has not yet rediscovered. The natural magic modern psychology is beginning to understand, and, well, magic that wouldn't seem so natural. I studied and learned for a purpose, my dear.
All right, Lamont, I realize all that. But now, Now the entire underworld has but one objective, to erase the shadow. And to me that means...
Until they know what the shadow is and who he is, what can they do? Stop and think how many criminals are either dead or in prison because of our activities. Why, even now, tonight, as we sit quietly here, somewhere, an innocent human being may be in desperate trouble. Somewhere, perhaps, there is a problem that can never be solved, except by the shadow.
What did the doctor say, Grace?
It was good news and bad, too, I'm afraid, dear.
Well, whatever it was, dear, tell me.
Well, he said the baby could be perfectly well again within a year.
Oh, thank God for that. Poor kid. She's had a tough time. Well, what else?
Well, this part isn't so good, Paul. She'll need treatments during all that time. Paul, treatments cost money.
I know. Well, we'll have to manage somehow. You didn't do a very good job marrying me, dear.
Darling.
If I could only get a job. I've got my health and I've got brains. But no one seems to want them.
Oh, they will, dear. They've got to.
You're right about that. We're just about down to rock bottom. I've raised every cent I can on the house and car. There isn't anything left.
You and I are still left, Paul. And we've got to take care of Sally. She's our daughter, Paul, and she's got to have her chance.
She's going to have it. Somehow. Tomorrow I'll start out and take anything I can get.
Darling, perhaps tomorrow things will break for us.
Yes. If only they don't break the wrong way.
Some
excuse me, but are you the boss here?
That's right.
I'm looking for a job.
Nothing doing, buddy.
I'll do anything. Wait on table, wash dishes, anything at all.
I don't need any more help.
Well, how about delivering things? I've got a car.
Nope, I don't deliver nothing. Sorry, I don't need you.
I see. All right. Thanks.
Hey, you.
What? You calling to me?
Yeah, sit down. Have a beer.
No, thanks. I don't drink.
Anyhow, sit down. Meet a friend of mine named Lefty. My name's Red. Look at my hair and you'll know why.
Well, I'm glad to meet you both. Gordon's my name, Paul Gordon. Well, do you want to talk to me about something?
We might. Might be able to help you out. Sounds like you're looking for a job.
You bet I am. I need one. You know anybody that could use me?
Maybe. We don't know you yet.
So far as that goes... I don't know you either.
See, Red, the guy's smart.
Yeah, maybe too smart.
Now, look here, Mr. Gordon. We need a car, and we need somebody to drive it for us. You understand?
Well, I've got a car, and I can drive.
Is it a good car? Has it got speed?
I'll guarantee you up to 80.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Now, listen, kid. How about meeting us tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock?
All right. Where?
Well, let's see. We're going to... I got it. Right in front of the Uptown Bank. We got to go there first to cash a check.
Well... How about $5 a day?
That's so. But you remember, be there at 9 o'clock or you don't get no job.
Don't worry, I'll be there. I'll be there at 8 o'clock.
Hey, buddy, you can't keep this car in front of the bank all day. Can't you see that sign, no parking?
I'm not parking, officer. I'm waiting for a couple of men. I'm working for them.
Oh. Hey, what's that?
It sounds like shots in the bank.
Hey, park area. You got him, Lefty. Here he is with the car.
Come on, you start that bus for me.
Step on it, fella.
Hey, brother, you can't do that.
Gone, I was joke.
Let him have it, Red. Hold him off.
I'll hold him. Wish I'd never have shot that cop. Can't you get no more speed out of this car, fella?
She's doing all she can.
Shoot at the tires, Red. I missed him.
Try the windshield.
Say, let me out of this. Take the car. You don't think I'm in with you?
That's just what we're figuring on. Now, here comes the curve. After you make that stop.
Get ready, Red. I'm ready. I'm just leaving the evidence.
Put it under the seat cushion.
All right.
Okay. Goodbye, Gordon.
Thanks for the
lift. Hey, wait, you guys. Don't leave me like this. They'll think I did it. Hey, come on back, will you? Look out.
Up with your hands. Come on, get him up.
All right, officer. I haven't got a gun. I wasn't in this. They made me drive the car.
Yeah, keep your hands up just the same. Now throw the car, Charlie.
Okay, Sarge.
Now, fella, you might as well come clean on this.
I haven't done anything. I tell you, I'm innocent.
Hey, Sarge, I got it. Under the rear seat cushion, a bag full of bills and a gun.
That's the gun that bumped off my buddy Louie. And you say you're innocent.
Yes, I am.
Well, it'll take more than saying so to keep you out of the electric chair.
Order in the court. Order in the court. Paul Gordon, the jury have found you guilty of robbery under arms and statutory murder. You have been shown to have had both motive and opportunity. The prosecution has piled up a mass of incontrovertible evidence, and I myself have no doubt of your guilt. Therefore, in accordance with the law, I direct that you be taken from here to the place from whence you came, and that there you be put to death in the manner stated by the law. And may God have mercy on your soul.
Hey, who was that? Where did that
laugh? Who laughed? Bring that person before the cops.
Well, I don't know where he is, Your Honor.
The laugh came from over there, in that corner.
Yes. Yes, Your Honor, but there's no one in that corner. Only a shadow.
Go to sleep, dear. Mother will be right here in the next room. Oh, God. Please help me. Help me. I don't know what to do. Yes? Who is it?
My name is Margot Lane. I have a message for you, Mrs. Gordon.
You're not a reporter, are you?
No, I'm a friend. I've come to help.
Oh, then please come in. What is it you want, Miss Lane?
Mrs. Gordon, your husband has a friend who's going to help him. Here's $1,000 in cash.
What?
That's for you and Sally.
$1,000? Who was it sent this to me?
Well, that I can't tell you. But the message with it is not to lose hope.
Oh, then there is hope for Paul, then.
The man who sent this to you never fails.
Who is he?
Well, that I can't tell you.
But, Miss Lane, you know him.
Sometimes I wonder whether I do. I love him. But I wonder whether I know him.
What do you mean?
It's hard to tell whether I really know the man or only his shadow.
Well, Lefty, tonight the fall guy goes to the chair.
That's what he gets for being a sucker.
Yeah, there's not a clue that even points our way.
Not even a print. We had gloves on all the time.
You had yours off for a minute when you were sitting next to him.
Yeah, but I didn't touch the wheel.
Then we ain't left a clue.
You think so?
Who said that? You, Lefty?
No, I thought it was you.
It was I. You cannot see me.
Who are you?
And where are you?
I am here in the room, in the shadow. You have pinned your crime on an innocent man. He shall not suffer, but you will.
I don't know who you are or where you are, but you're bluffing anyway. You got no evidence. We didn't leave a clue.
You did leave a clue. A clue that will send you to the chair.
Where was it? Where was it? You're lying.
Wouldn't you like to believe that? Keep thinking about it. Keep thinking about the clue that you forgot. Margot Lane. Paul Gordon is in the death house and is to die in the chair tonight. I am going to him now. We can still save him. Stand by for orders.
In a few moments, we will return to the shadow. But before we do, let me stress this one fact. For home heating, anthracite is best. And America's finest anthracite is Blue Coal. Anthracite is the healthful fuel. It gives steady, uniform heat that helps prevent colds and cuts down doctor's bills. For with anthracite, there is no quick chilling of the house, such as you get with fuels of the on and off type, or with quick burning fuels that flare up and burn out. Bear in mind that heating plants in this part of the country were especially designed to burn anthracite. So before that cold snap catches you unaware, call your local Blue Coal dealer. You'll find his name listed in the Where to Buy It section of your classified directory under the words Blue Coal. Call him tomorrow and order a supply of America's finest anthracite.
Got any word from the governor?
I'm sorry, Gordon. The governor refuses to take any action.
Then, I've got to go. Tonight?
At 11 o'clock.
What time is it now?
Almost 10. Is there anything I can do for you?
No. Thank you, Gordon.
Very well. These guards will move you to another cell. I'll be back in a little while.
Ready, Gordon?
Yes, Scott.
We're just going to move you to another cell.
What does it matter?
The one you're going to is nearer.
Nearer to the chair, is that it? All right. Let's go.
All right, Gordon. Walk the left.
We'll be right here behind you.
Now knock the door into this preparation chamber, Pete.
Okay. Just a second.
All right. Go on through, Gordon. Watch him, Pete. I'll shut the door.
What's the use of all this trouble? What chance have I got now?
I'm afraid you haven't got much, fella.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
What do you mean?
Holy smokes. Look behind you.
Where?
There. Oh. Too bad. I hated to do that, but there wasn't any other way, and he'll only be out for a while. Now, Gordon, listen to me.
Hey. Where are you? I can't see you anymore. Where have you gone?
Back into the shadow. Now, Gordon, we haven't much time. Listen to me. No crime is perfect. There's always somewhere a loose end. The only reason that all crimes aren't solved is because there's some one fact that someone knows and doesn't tell. And sometimes they don't tell because they don't know that they know.
I told everything I know in court. They wouldn't believe me then.
Because you couldn't prove what you said. We are going after the proof now. You and I.
How?
I'm going to think with your mind.
I don't know what you mean.
Don't try to understand. Just do as I tell you. I want you to concentrate, Gordon. Fix your mind on everything that happened that day. Make mental pictures. I'll see what you see.
I'll try.
No. No. No, Gordon. Stop thinking about your wife and baby.
How did you know I was thinking about
that? I saw it in your mind. I see in my mind the pictures you create in yours.
Oh, like television?
Yes, or like mental telepathy or mind reading, hypnotism, whatever you choose. There's no time to talk. Stop talking. Think.
I will. I will. I'm thinking now.
The picture is getting clearer. That's better. Go on. The restaurant? The bar? Gordon, stop thinking about the electric chair. It blurs the picture.
I'll try. I'll try.
Ah. That's better. The car. In front of the bank. Yes, I see it. The policeman. The crowd. Yes. Wait a minute. The small man with red hair.
He was the one you called Red.
Yes. Yes. I see him. Crooked nose, short, glasses.
I know that man. He's Red Sloan.
It's hard to see.
I know. Think for your life. Try hard. Yes, you started the car. The other, Lefty, was in front with you. Lefty. Lefty. See him for me, Gordon. Ah, yes. A scar on his left cheek. Why didn't you mention that in court?
I forgot.
Never mind. Concentrate. Yes. Yes. Lefty couldn't keep you covered with a gun and look back at the same time. What did he do?
He reached up and twisted the rear view mirror.
Now we've got it. Ah, that's the loose end. That's where his thumbprint will be. Gordon, now I can save you. You've told the truth. You didn't know you knew.
Right, you're a fool for coming in here again. This is the place we picked up that kid that's burning tonight. What you want to come in here for?
This is as good a place as any, ain't it?
Hey, telephone for you, Lefty.
Telephone?
Yeah, maybe you never heard of it, but it's a great invention.
But nobody knows I'm here.
Well, somebody knows because they're waiting on the phone for you. It's over there on the wall.
Okay.
Don't be too long, Lefty.
Hello? Say, what are you laughing at? Who is this?
Lefty, did you ever hear of the Shadow?
Yeah. Say, what is this?
Too bad about young Gordon, isn't it, Lefty?
What do you know about that?
The Shadow knows.
Who are you? What do you want?
I want justice. Justice for Paul Gordon, Lefty. And I'm going to get it.
But you ain't got no evidence.
No. Perhaps there are some fingerprints, Lefty.
Oh, no. We had gloves on. There couldn't be no fingerprints.
Did you have gloves on all the time?
Yeah, sure. I did.
You're left-handed. Now listen carefully, Lefty. When you were sitting in the front seat of Gordon's car, your gun was in your left hand. Remember?
Say, you ain't nobody. It's just... Say... How do you know?
What did you do with your right hand?
My right hand?
You took off your right glove, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Oh, gosh, I'm going nuts.
And you couldn't see the car that was chasing you because the angle of the rear view mirror was adjusted for the driver and you weren't driving, so... Do you remember what you did?
No, I didn't. I didn't take it off.
Are you sure you didn't reach up with your bare right hand and turn that rear view mirror? Are you sure, Lefty?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Maybe I did that.
If the police find that fingerprint, you'll burn, Lefty. Just the way young Gordon's going to burn tonight. Goodbye, Lefty.
Hey, wait a minute. He hung up. No. I won't burn. Hey, Red!
Yeah, it's starting to gab long enough. Say, who was the guy?
Never mind that. Where's that car of Gordon's now?
In his garage. I guess I heard his wife.
Listen.
What?
I got a hunch. There's some fingerprints of mine in that car. Red, we gotta wipe them off of there, or maybe we'll burn in that chair, too.
Come on, let's go.
But, Commissioner...
I'm sorry, Miss Lane, but I don't see what we can do.
But I tell you, Paul Gordon is innocent. The men who committed the crime are free.
Where did you get this information?
Oh, that I can't tell you.
Hey, Miss Lane, Paul Gordon was convicted of murder by due processes of law. Tonight he pays for his crime in the electric chair.
If the police listened to every crank who came in here claiming new evidence...
But they can't send an innocent man to the chair. They can't do it.
No, but they can send a guilty man. And according to the evidence, Paul Gordon is guilty.
Commissioner, suppose that afterwards, when it's too late, they discover that Paul Gordon wasn't guilty after all. And suppose I testify that the police refuse to listen.
Well, what do you want me to do? If it's within reason, I'll do that.
I want you to send some men to that garage. I want you to catch the guilty men and see that justice is done.
I'm frightened.
Brace up, Gordon. It won't be long.
Get your chin up, buddy. My turn next. Go along, fella. Good luck. Goodbye, kid.
Where is he? He promised to save me.
Who, son?
I don't know. It was a voice. Just a voice. He said he'd stand by.
Now, steady, old man. Don't lose your nerve, Gordon. Open it up, men.
No. I won't go in there. I didn't do it. I didn't kill him. I didn't, I tell you. He said he'd stand by. He's Warden, wait. Only a few minutes more. Just a few minutes. Don't take me in there yet. Now, wait, please. Please. He said, please wait.
Easy, Gordon. I'm sorry.
But if I go in that door, I'm gone. It'll be too late then.
Take him in, men.
No, wait. Oh, where are you? Where's that voice? Where did he go? Please come back.
Warden!
Wait a minute, men. Well, what is it?
Warden, wait. The governor's on the phone. He says stop. Hold up everything.
What'd the governor say?
He wants to talk to you on the phone, Warden. He says don't electrocute this man. They've got the other two guys in Gordon's garage trying to rub out some fingerprints. One of them was shot and died. But before he died, he spilled it all. This fellow didn't do it. It was a frame-up.
Oh, thank God he got me in time. Gordon! Gordon! Did you hear that?
Yes. Yes, I heard it. That voice said he would. I'm free. You're not going to electrocute me, Warden. You're not.
No. No, Gordon. The governor saved you.
Governor? No. It wasn't the governor. It was somebody else. Or something else.
But what do you mean, Gordon? Who saved you?
I don't know. It was a voice. Just a voice. I never really saw him. He was only a shadow.
Before another adventure with the Shadow draws to a close, John Barclay, Blue Coal's heating expert, would like to say a few words. Mr. Barclay.
Good evening, friends. If you're interested in having a more comfortable home this winter, be sure to call your local Blue Coal dealer. For he's more than a fuel dealer. He's an authority on modern home heating. You see, for more than 6 years, I've trained servicemen for these Blue Coal dealers. These men, known as John Barclay servicemen, have added thousands of families like yours to enjoy a greater degree of comfort and to save heating dollars, too. I'm going to read part of a letter typical of many received from satisfied customers using Blue Coal and John Barclay service. I quote in part, "The service rendered by your John Barclay servicemen has been invaluable to me. We were burning a ton of coal a week and having great difficulty in keeping our fire going throughout the night. Your servicemen made me many helpful suggestions regarding the proper way to regulate the furnace and recommended the use of Blue Coal. We not only reduced the amount of fuel consumed to one half, but actually got more heat. Think of that, friends. In this case, a family cut their fuel bill in half simply by following the advice of a John Barclay serviceman whose services were given without charge. Now, you don't have to buy Blue Coal to benefit from John Barclay service. No matter what kind of fuel you're using or from whom you've been buying, if you have any heating problems, consult the Blue Coal dealer. He'll be very glad to place his John Barclay serviceman at your disposal to solve your problems. I thank you.
The story you have just heard is copyrighted by the Shadow Magazine. Real names are never used in these Shadow stories.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not... not pay. The shadow knows.
That was a classic episode of the show titled Death House Rescue, featuring Orson Welles as the title character. In fact, that was Welles' first appearance in the show, dating from Sunday, September 26, 1937, at 5:30 p.m. on the Mutual Network. Despite being one of the best actors to play the shadow, Welles only starred in the series until Sunday, March 20, 1938, after which Bill Johnson took over the role of the shadow. Our next series is Boston Blackie, which began as a summer replacement for the Amos and Andy show on Friday, June 23, 1944 on NBC. This series usually ran from April to October and finished its run on Wednesday, October 25, 1950 in transcribed syndication on various networks. Starring Richard Colmar as Detective Boston Blackie, Maurice Tarplin as Inspector Faraday, and Jan Miner as Mary. Boston Blackie's specialty was making fools of the police department run by the inept Inspector Faraday. This episode, titled The Case of the Unused Shoes, is from Wednesday, March 2nd, 1945. Enjoy.
Bench. Love boys.
What'd you expect in a park, Shorty? Penguins?
Well, these love boys can't fly, boss.
Neither can penguins.
Gee, Blackie, I didn't know there was a lake down this part of the park.
Well, Shorty, we've never taken this path to Mary's before.
Huh? What do we do from here, swim?
Now we take this footbridge.
Oh, gee. It sure is a plenty cute lake for such a little one, eh?
Well, stay away from that bridge railing. You'll be telling me it's a plenty wet lake for such a little one.
Hey, boss.
Now what?
Look, lying in the water there. Right by the shore.
Uh-oh.
Well, is it?
It sure is.
Is it dead?
If it isn't, it's awful careless. Come on, let's have a look.
Gee, boss, is he dead?
You used the wrong pronoun, short one. When a he is dead, he's an it.
It's an it?
By virtue of a slight case of no breathing... Light a match, will you?
Oh, sure. Then we better call a cop, huh?
Are you kidding? All I have to do is pronounce the word body and Inspector Faraday dusts out a cell all for me.
Gee, what do you know? Face down in the water with his feet on the shore. A plain case of suicide, boss. It'll be okay to call a cop.
It'll be murder to call a cop, Shorty. Because that's what this is.
This guy didn't bump himself?
Not unless he rode here on the back of a duck. Look at his shoes.
Kind of neat looking.
And he pulled a neat trick, getting here without walking on them.
Matches don't burn well. What do you mean by that, boss?
He's wearing brand new shoes, Shorty, never walked on. And it's a plenty long hike from here to the edge of the park.
See? And I said, let's call a cop.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah, sure, boss.
Hey, you two. What's going on down there?
Hey, boss, it's a cop.
What's that lying in the water? A body?
Uh-oh, Shorty. Here we go again.
Now meet Boston Blackie, enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend.
All right, Blackie, come on in. I want to talk to you.
Well, look what invites me into the morgue, a body that walks and talks, Inspector Faraday.
Blackie, some of these days you're going to underestimate me and be sorry.
Don't tell me this case is closed already.
Maybe I look dumb, Blackie, but I'm not. We police see things that other people don't.
Oh?
I'll let you know a little secret, chum. This isn't suicide, it's murder.
Murder?
Surprised, huh?
Plenty. What makes you think it's murder?
I don't think, I know. What a clever stunt this was. Would have gotten by somebody like you, but not me. I saw it the minute they brought the body in. And you, the great Boston Blackie, you thought it was suicide.
Well, I'm certainly surprised.
I thought you would be, pal.
I didn't think you'd notice the shoes.
Well, when you know you mean you... Why, you double-crosser, you... You knew it all the time.
That's why I hung around. I thought you'd never notice it. Only a dope would fail to see no more than 10 steps have been taken in those shoes.
I ought to throw you in jail.
Don't choke yourself with jealousy, pal. This murdered guy, Walters, could have taken a cab to within 20 feet of the lake.
I'm way ahead of you again, Blackie. I checked with every cab company in town. He didn't take a taxi.
It's murder, all right. And I know how it was done.
You'd speculate on anything, wouldn't you?
It's as simple as a nursery rhyme, my dear fellow. He was picked up outside his apartment house, driven to the lake by his killer, hit over the head and tossed into the lake.
I'll buy that. But you'll have to give me a cut rate.
I know it's not worth much until we have a suspect with a motive.
I've got a suspect with plenty of motive. A guy's wife. She didn't even break up when she identified the body. And guess where she says she was at the time Walters died? At a movie, alone.
What did Mrs. Walters say when you told her it was murder?
I didn't tell her. I've got Mrs. Walters tagged as a possible suspect. She admits she and her husband never got along. If she thinks I'm convinced it's suicide, she'll drop her guard. I'm even releasing a suicide story to the papers.
Faraday, you astound me.
Really? Okay, Blackie. You knew this was murder from the start, so maybe you know a whole lot more.
Put that gun away, Faraday. Don't you know it's impolite to point?
You found the body, Blackie. So I'm holding you as a material witness and locking you up till I've got my case against Mrs. Walters.
Faraday, please, please, the gun, you know.
I know, and it stays in my hand. Now, if you've finished pouring over Walters' shoe, come on. Leave the shoe here.
Where do you want me to put it?
On this table right here.
Take hold of a size 11 by the toe. That's surprising how heavy a shoe can be.
Put the shoe down, will you, and come on.
Sure, I'll put it down right on your hand. Leave your gun on the floor, Faraday, or I'll have to use mine on you.
So help me, Blackie. You run out on this, and I'll throw the book at you.
How far can you throw a book, Faraday? I'm going a long way.
You won't get far. Every cop on the force will guarantee that personally.
When you can get another key made for this door, Faraday, maybe someone on the force will let you out.
Where you going?
Hey, officer.
Yeah? What is it?
Yeah, if you can get into the morgue, you'd better have a look around.
What for?
There's a brand new body in there, but it's dead only from the neck up. Mrs. John Waters?
Yes?
I'm from the police department. May I come in?
Oh, yes, of course.
Thanks.
Are you from Inspector Faraday?
Straight from him. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
I see.
Your late husband carried life insurance?
Doesn't almost everybody?
That doesn't answer my question.
Yes.
That does. For how much?
I don't know.
For how much?
Enough. Is that all?
No. May I see the policy?
I don't have it.
Where is it?
I'm not sure, in my husband's safety deposit box, I suppose.
You the sole beneficiary?
I suppose I am. I never asked my husband.
Do you suppose everything? What company did your husband carry his insurance with, or do you just suppose it was some company?
No, it's the New Northern Life, I think.
Oh, first you suppose, now you think. Well, it's a big improvement.
Look here, I don't think you're from the police at all.
Some cops still have arches, Mrs. Walters.
You're not from the police. Who are you?
I'm asking the questions, Mrs. Walters.
Well, I'm going to call Inspector Faraday.
Your husband's policy is with the New Northern Life, huh? Now, can you remember for how much?
I'm not answering any more questions.
Police department.
Inspector Faraday, please.
Yes, ma'am. Faraday speaking.
Inspector, this is Sarah Walters.
Oh, yeah?
Did you send a man from your department to talk to me?
I did not.
Well, there's a man here now who claims that he came from your office.
Put him on the phone.
Of course. Inspector Faraday wants to talk to you. Here.
Thank you.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, sweetheart. How does it feel to be out of the morgue again?
Blackie, I might have known it was you.
I know. You're going to send up a squad car and then pick me up.
You better behave yourself. You're getting in this deeper every minute.
I don't know what I'm getting into, Inspector, but I do know I'm getting out of here, so don't bother to send for me. Goodbye.
Blackie, so help me when I...
Sorry to be leaving, Mrs. Walters, but this place is going to be full of cops in a few minutes, and I hate crowds.
Who are you, anyway?
The name's Blackie.
Boston Blackie?
That's right.
Then you're the one who found my husband's body.
And that isn't all I found, Mrs. Walters. And if Faraday doesn't see me first, I'll see you again.
Tom Jenkins' law office. Jenkins speaking.
Tom, this is Sarah.
Oh, hello.
Tom, John's dead.
What?
He was found in the lake in the park this evening.
Oh, Sarah, I'm so sorry. How did it happen?
He killed himself.
Is there anything I can do?
I don't know. I'm worried.
Worried?
Tom, I have a hunch the police suspect it's murder.
Murder? What makes you think so?
A man by the name of Boston Blackie was here asking terrible questions. Tom, what can I do?
What do you mean?
If it's murder, I'm afraid.
Why? Do you have anything to hide?
No.
Then what are you worried about?
I'm just worried.
Well, stop it. Who did you say was up there questioning you?
Boston Blackie.
Boston Blackie? Well, forget about him. Get him off your mind.
I wish somebody would get him off this case.
I know you're the beauty of the new Northern Life Insurance Company, baby, but are you the brains, too?
That depends on what you want to know.
Well, you see, I carry a life insurance policy with your company. My name's John Walters.
Yeah?
I've forgotten the name of the man who sold me the policy. You could give it to me, couldn't you?
Well, not from memory, but I should have it in my file.
I think I should have you in my file.
Is there room?
Sure. You probably have a very small name.
What was your name again?
It's still John Walters.
Walter, Abel, Walters, Ira, Walters, John. John, here we are.
The salesman's name?
Here it is. Fred Singer.
I'd like to talk to him.
Oh, that door right there. Just knock.
Thanks. And, who got me this information?
Mr. Singer will be glad to do anything he can for you.
I'll be back.
Come in.
Fred Singer?
That's right.
I'd like to ask you a few questions.
I don't think I've had...
My name's Blackie, Boston Blackie.
Oh.
You sold an insurance policy to John Walters, didn't you?
That's right.
When?
I'm afraid you'd better explain your reasons for these questions.
John Walters is dead.
What did you say?
When did you sell him this policy?
A month ago.
For how much?
$50,000.
Who's the beneficiary?
His wife.
How well did you know Mrs. Walters?
I've never met her.
Oh.
This is certainly a shock about Walters. How did he die?
He was murdered.
Oh, the police know who killed him?
Well, I'll give you a hint. If the police can prove their case, they'll save your company $50,000.
Look, Blackie, when we get upstairs to your place, let's stay there, huh? We're not in this mess. It's got nothing to do with us.
Faraday's figuring Mrs. Walters killed her husband, but I don't know, somehow I don't like that.
Hmm? Would you like it better if Faraday pinned it on you?
Well, it'd be a lot more natural.
What do we do now?
You're going to shadow Mrs. Walters. I've got a hunch if we watch her movements, she'll either prove Faraday is right or clear herself.
Well, okay, boss. You're the boss, but I... Hey, Blackie. I don't like the looks of this car coming up the street.
Uh-oh.
Boss, I got a funny feeling.
You know he's really quick.
Yeah. We ain't going to make it, boss.
You better.
Oh. Hey, boss. Blackie! Hey, Blackie!
Inspector Faraday is a material witness in the murder of John Walters. Boston Blackie has managed to interview Mrs. Walters, Faraday's chief suspect, Fred Singer, who sold the insurance policy to the dead man, and get himself shot at by an unknown assailant. As we return to our story, Blackie is still avoiding Faraday and is at the apartment of Mary Wesley, where the young nurse is dressing his bullet wound.
This'll hurt a little, Blackie.
You know you're supposed to report this to the police, don't you?
Yes.
It's the law.
Yes, I know. Was Shorty hurt, too?
No, not a scratch.
Ouch! Sorry. What kind of trouble are you in this time?
Up until this bullet autographed my arm, I wasn't in any trouble, I thought.
Now we're both in trouble.
Oh, don't worry, honey. I'll report this to Faraday myself. Oh. Shall I answer?
It's probably for you.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Blackie. Like it is Shorty here.
Are you still trailing Mrs. Wallace?
Boss, I'm shagging after that dame like she owed me the last $10 bill in town. Hey, you know something, boss?
As much as my IQ will allow.
I don't know nothing from IQs, but I know I've seen this Walters dame somewhere before.
Now, don't tell me she's a waterfront mall in Park Avenue clothing.
I don't know about that. I just know that I've seen her before.
Well, don't lose her. Where is she now?
Well, I'll tell you. First she went into the bank, boss, and then she went into an apartment building across the street from here, see?
Do you know what apartment?
Yeah, a guy named Singer.
Fred Singer?
Yeah. Hey, boss, how did you know that?
Never mind that. Singer told me he didn't even know Mrs. Walters. Where are you now?
In a drugstore at the corner 86th Street in Elmhurst.
I'll be right up.
Well, you better step on it, boss. The dame went into that building like she was in a hurry.
I have a hunch she's not only in a hurry, short one. I think the lady's also in a jam.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, thanks for the pleasant welcome. Well, hello, Mrs. Walters.
Again?
Well, this is all very cozy. Two people who don't even know each other.
Of course we know each other. We have for years. You don't think we'd be foolish enough to tell you or the police?
You were foolish enough to let my man trail Mrs. Walters to your apartment. Now, what goes?
I don't think we have to answer your questions. You're not from the police.
Well, maybe you'd rather answer their questions.
What do you want?
Let's see that insurance policy.
What insurance policy?
The one you sold John Walters.
Don't be a fool. What would it be doing here?
You brought it here, Mrs. Walters.
I did not.
You didn't stop in at the bank on your way here to get change for a dollar. Oh, no. Let's see the policy.
All right. Let him see it, then.
Dear, huh? Oh, this is cozy. The policy, Mrs. Walters.
I'm getting it out of my purse now.
Be sure it doesn't come out with bullets in it.
Here it is.
Thanks.
I don't see what you intend to accomplish with all this prying.
For one thing, I intend to find out who hit John Walters on the head so I can get Faraday off my neck. Let's have that policy.
You can see I wasn't lying. It was signed a month ago, and it's for $50,000, just as I said.
Mind if I use your phone?
Go ahead. If you want anything in that policy, explain...
It explains itself.
Who are you calling?
Inspector Faraday. To turn you two in for the murder of John Walters.
You out of your mind?
Don't move, either one of you. I've got a good gun and better aim.
Faraday speaking.
Hello, Faraday. This is Blackie.
Okay, Blackie. This has gone far enough. I'm issuing a warrant for your arrest. You...
Look, chum. Don't make any more mistakes than you've already made. Or I'll make you solve this case by yourself.
Oh, yeah?
You want Mrs. Walters. And the man who sold John Walters is insurance.
I was just checking into the insurance angle on this thing.
Well, I've checked for you, sweetheart. Here's the dope. It's as pat as the pan on your face there. Mrs. Walters wanted a divorce. Singer wanted Mrs. Walters. The only thing that stood in the way was Mr. Walters.
That's an old one, the love angle.
Yes, but love wasn't enough this time. Money was interesting, too. So Singer sold Walters a policy for $50,000 payable to Mrs. Walters.
I get it. Then the two of them knocked off Mr. Walters. So they could get married and live happily ever after. Or until the $50,000 ran out.
You see, Faraday, it's so simple, even you can manage to figure it out. And they both happen to be right here, in Singer's apartment. Number 2A, northwest corner of 86th and Elmhurst Avenue.
Okay, I'll be right up from. But you stay there too, Blackie. You're not out of this yet.
Sorry, pal, I can't wait. I've got work to do. But Shorty will hold him for you.
Look, you're way off the beam.
You better sit down, Singer, and you too, Mrs. Walters. Faraday won't be here to pick you up for 10 minutes. Hey, Shorty.
Yeah, boss?
Come on up quick. Use the stairs. They're faster.
Right away, boss.
Well, I guess about all you two need now is a lawyer.
I'd like to call mine now, if you don't mind.
I do mind.
Oh, Fred, what are we going to do?
Just sit tight, I guess. That's all we can do for the moment.
That's what Tom told me to do, too, and look what's happened.
Who's Tom?
My lawyer. Please let me call him.
Seems to me you've already called him.
I did after you came to see me this afternoon.
What's his name?
Tom Jenkins.
Here I am, boss.
Okay, Shorty. Just keep an eye on these two lovebirds till the police come and put them into their cages.
Hey, gee, boss, now I know.
Now you know what?
Now I know where I seen his name. It was in a police lineup in Los Angeles when I was picked up on a phony charge.
Why, you're crazy.
Well, this gets more interesting every minute.
I even remember what you was up for, boss. It was robbery. And her name was Sarah Wolf.
That's not true.
This could go on forever. See that these two don't run out before the cops get here, Shorty.
Right.
I'm going to run down Mrs. Walter's lawyer.
Yes, I've been Mrs. Walter's lawyer for many years.
But you never knew Mr. Walters?
No, I didn't. They didn't get along too well, you know. I was Mrs. Walters' attorney.
Nice place you have here.
No, I like it.
I was in a lawyer's office just the other afternoon. He had the same kind of paneling.
Really? Well, I'm very busy, Blackie. A lot of work to do, so if you'd just tell me why you came down
Jenkins.
Here...
Tom Jenkins. Tom Jenkins. Let me see. Are you by any chance related to the Alfred Jenkins on the east side?
No, I'm not. Now, look here. I... Excuse me. Hello.
Is Boston Blackie there?
Why, yes. In just a minute. It's for you.
Oh, thanks. Hello?
Blackie?
Yes, Mary?
I called Los Angeles just as you told me to.
Oh, what'd you find out?
Is it all right to talk?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Nobody can hear you.
Well, you were right. A Sarah Walsh was sent to a California prison for 3 years for robbery.
Uh-huh.
She later changed her name to Sarah Burroughs. Then she came east where she married John Walters.
Swell. Anything else?
Yes. I asked about the name of her attorney on that case. It was a man by the name of Tom Jenkins. He was disbarred several years later for malpractice.
Mary, you're the most wonderful girl in the world.
Yes, I know. On a telephone.
I'll talk to you in person in the best restaurant in town at 8 o'clock tonight. I'll call for you at 7.
Well, I won't wait a minute after 9.
Good girl. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, can we get down to business, or may I go to work?
Sorry to hold you up, Jenkins. Gee, I'm really sorry. One more phone call, and then we can talk.
Go ahead.
Speaking.
Hello, Faraday. This is Blackie.
Hello, Blackie. Say, I guess I really have to thank you this time.
What for, pal?
I believe in being fair. Thanks to you, I've got Mrs. Walters and Fred Singer on the lock and key, and the whole case sewed up in a sack.
Faraday, you haven't got anything.
Are you crazy?
Read that insurance policy.
What for?
Look, Walters' death was supposed to look like suicide, wasn't it?
Any fool could have told that.
Then only a fool would have wanted Walter's death to look like suicide. If he knew what was in that insurance policy, and both Mrs. Walters and Singer knew it.
Knew what?
That a suicide clause voided the policy in the event Walter killed himself inside of 2 years. And that policy was only 1 month old.
Well, I'll be...
Inspector, mustn't brag.
You made a fool out of me, Blackie.
Relax, Inspector. I thought Singer and Mrs. Walters were the ones we wanted, too, until I read the policy carefully. But now I've got your real killer for you.
Where?
Right here, room 1051 in the City Building. His name is Tom Jenkins.
What time did you receive her, Blackie?
Afraid I'll have to put an end to this little conversation, Inspector.
I heard what he said. I'll have a squad up there in 5 minutes.
For the last time, put that receiver down.
With pleasure. It was getting sort of heavy anyhow.
Very clever.
Oh, not very.
For that very lovely shot in the dark, you're going to get a shot in the back.
Oh, I don't think so.
This gun in my hand wasn't filled at a water fountain.
Oh, I was referring to what you called my shot in the dark. I wasn't guessing at all.
Oh, you looked into your little crystal ball, huh?
No, into the court records in Los Angeles. Mrs. Walters went to jail out there a few years ago, and you were her lawyer.
Well, you are informed, aren't you?
Better than you think. When she came east, she changed her name, married John Walters, had 2 children, and then you followed her to blackmail her for every dime she could lay her hands on.
Your answers don't wait for questions, do they?
A little while ago, Mrs. Walters went broke, didn't she?
What makes you think so?
It had to be like that. You murdered John Walters to get the $50,000 for which he was insured, because you knew you could get every penny of it from Mrs. Walters.
I don't think you can prove that.
You must think so, or you wouldn't be holding that gun at me.
Just a precaution.
Well, I'll tell you why. Would you kill John Walters, if you'd like to know? The clue is in the insurance policy. And you're the only one of 3 suspects who didn't see the policy.
Oh?
If you had read the policy, you wouldn't have made it look like suicide. After all, you did want Mrs. Walters to collect.
Well, you're a very clever young man. It's too bad I missed when I shot at you this afternoon. But it isn't too late.
Put away that gun, Jenkins. Cops will be here in a few minutes.
I won't kill you here. We're leaving. I'll take my car for a drive in the country.
You dump Walters in the park, and you're going to dump me out in the country. Murder seems to bring out the rural in you.
I'll just search you for your gun, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have no gun. Let's go, Blackie. Right out that door the way you came in.
Okay.
And just remember, this hand in my coat pocket has a gun in it.
I wouldn't have to give it a second thought if I had my gun with me.
Here's your gun, boss.
What do you... Well, Shorty.
Yep. Here's your gun, boss. Stick it in this guy's back.
That was a wonderful dinner, Blackie.
I like a little food with my conversation.
But, Blackie, I had a lot of questions to ask you.
Have you run out of them yet?
Nope. Just one more.
All right.
Where shall we walk? Oh, it's a beautiful night.
Well, here's the park. What about through here?
Oh, Blackie, do you think we should? Isn't this the path you and Shorty were on when you found that body? Remember all the trouble that caused you.
Honey, any time I walk through a park with Shorty when you're available, I deserve to have trouble.
Well, Blackie clearly made the police look like fools in that episode. That was Boston Blackie, the case of the unused shoes from Wednesday, May 2nd, 1945. I have something special for you next. Between 1939 and 1948, one of the popular detective series on radio was The Adventures of Ellery Queen, based on the Ellery Queen detective novels. To give listeners a taste of the show, radio stations would often play one-minute fillers called Ellery Queen's Minute Mysteries. In these 60-second mysteries, Ellery presented a problem to listeners who had only a few seconds to solve it before Ellery came back to present the solution. While greatly abbreviated, they did prove to be an effective way to attract listeners to the main series. Today I'm featuring one of these Minute Mysteries. I don't know the broadcast date for any of the Minute Mysteries, but the title is The Desert Island. Let's see if you can figure out how Ellery Queen solved the problem before he tells you how he did it.
Ellery Queen's Minute Mysteries. This is Ellery Queen with a case I call The Deserted Island. While vacationing on the Gulf of Mexico, I tagged along with the local police as they chased a jewel thief who'd escaped by private plane. He was spotted on a deserted island just off the coast of Honduras. The police and I went ashore and arrested him. He smiled. You can't arrest me. This is a deserted island off Honduras. You need extradition papers to take me. That's perfectly true, I replied, if this deserted island were foreign soil. My friend, you're under arrest. In a moment, I'll explain how we took the man in. In the case of the deserted island, the thief didn't realize the island so close to Honduras was an American possession. Little Swan Island, so small it hardly appears on the maps, but it's there, and it's American soil. Listen again to Ellery Queen's Minute Mysteries.
That was an episode of Ellery Queen's Minute Mysteries titled The Deserted Island, a 60-second mystery that was designed to promote the main show, The Adventures of Ellery Queen, and attract listeners to tune in when the 30-minute program was on. I don't know the original air date for this one-minute mystery, but it would have aired sometime between 1939 and 1948 when the main Ellery Queen program was in production. Next week, I'm going to start 2 weeks of Easter programming. If you'd like to contact me, you may email me at Corey.Walker, C-O-R-E-Y, .Walker@Telus.net, or write to Old Parlor Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1, or phone 250-563-2347. That's all the time we have for this week, so tune in next week for another hour of great radio entertainment from yesteryear. From the CFIS-FM studios in Prince George, B.C., I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week.